Welcome to the Max Expressivicity Podcast, to help you decipher the confusing world of social connectivity so you can become an effective and forceful communicator, and so your messages are clearly heard and properly understood. Do you struggle to put together the best words? Well, here are the tools, tips, and techniques you'll need to express yourself to the max. And here is your host, Neil Mack.
What's the buzz? What is heard is more important than what is said. Don't you want to be heard? Have you never wished you could express yourself better? My podcast will provide you with the tools and the tips and the techniques you need to communicate your thoughts and your feelings and your emotions constructively and convincingly, both on paper and by mouth. Samuel Beckett once said, "Words are all we have." However, it seems that some of us, many of us, can't find the right words when we need them the most. Some have a clear way with words, that's true, but not all, not most. The majority of us lack the confidence and the skills we need to make ourselves clearly understood. My weekly podcast will gently guide you through the bumpy terrain of social engagement, dodging language traps as we go, sidestepping all of those grammatical obstacles, and avoiding glottological impediments to safely bring you to a place where you'll feel confident and ready to interact with others and to successfully participate in an increasingly competitive and communicative world. Is this you? Now, I'm not saying it is, but one or two of the challenges that I set out next may have rocked your world, maybe not, and maybe not all the time, but occasionally, so check them out. Here's my list. Do you stumble, swear, or choose the wrong word when it seems to matter the most? Are you anxious in some situations and that means that you can't express yourself the way you'd like? Do some of your thoughts come out as ravings and as rants? Is your language and your vocabulary powerful enough to communicate a clear message? Do you sometimes deliver words clumsily? Do you feel incompetent compared perhaps to a role model that you'd love to match up to? Are you able to organise and format your thoughts into a clear message? Do you use too many ifs and buts and likes and ums and maybes in your everyday speech? Do you keep baffling or alienating or even upsetting your audience? Are your communication skills inadequate, perhaps because you can't think on your feet? And are you afraid to express yourself because of your previous bad experiences? Well, imagine you had no words. Imagine you had none at all. Perhaps you were an alien, or you had been struck dumb, or you just hadn't learnt any. All you had at your disposal would be emotional icons. So, for example, how would you express pleasure? Well, with a smile. How would you express discontent? Well, with a frown. How would you express anger? Well, with a glower. How would you draw affection? With a kiss? How would you bring fondness? With a hug? How would you express irritation? With a push. Smiles, frowns, glowers, kisses, hugs, pushes, these are all emotional icons. One of the earliest known and very well used emotional icons was the I Heart New York. Do you remember? A slogan that's been used since the 1970s. Now, according to legend, that logo was crowned onto a bit of scrap paper by the graphic designer named Milton Glaser. And he was on his way to a meeting in his cab. And all of those things, all of those emotional icons I just mentioned, are maximum self-expression, or shortened to max expressivicity, because They're neat, they're powerful, and they're very compelling. But emotional icons are completed, of course, without articulation, without any voices. Now, it's a great way to communicate, I'm sure. It's practical and it's potent, and it's probably why emotional icons, or emoticons for short, and also those emoji ideograms like the smiley face, and incidentally, emoji just means character in Japanese, by the way. It's probably why they're so popular. But the downside of using abbreviations like emotional icons and emojis to communicate is that it's nigh on impossible to convey or describe an elaborate or sophisticated notion to another party through just gestures and through just facial expressions and just through glyphs. And anybody who's ever played Pictionary, the child-style party game, will know that that's true. If you just had gestures and facial expressions and glyphs, then there'd be a whole lot of crazy guessing going on, because we wouldn't have the potency and the potential wonder of words. And that's what this podcast is all about. It's bringing you the potency and the wonder, the potential wonder anyway, of words.
Blah 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 blah.
In this episode, the tool I want to teach you is known as the smile formula. So what is the smile formula? Well, some wise men once said, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. That's probably not how the tune goes, but thanks very much to Joe Goodwin, Larry Shea and Mark Fisher, who in 1928 wrote those words. They say that if you smile whilst using a phone, then the smile is magically transmitted through the electromagnetic waves to communicate with your recipient. And everyone who handles calls in a busy telephone call centre will know that fact, and which is why so many call handlers make a sign for themselves that they stick just above their monitor, which simply states, smile. And it's entirely possible, by the way, that you might need one of those stickers too. What is not so well known, though, is that you ought to smile while you're writing as well, because a smile is transmitted through the pixels and the text characters and the ink as you write, just like a smile is transmitted across the electromagnetic waves when you're on the phone. A smile can be magically transmitted to your recipient through your words. How come? Well, for starters, a smile is the opposite of anxiety. And smiling means you're happy. So when you're smiling, your written communication is influenced by the happy chemicals inside your body and especially inside your brain. And also, the muscles that stimulate happiness are also being used, rather than the muscles that stimulate and bring about anxiety. So, a smile brings positive reinforcement to the things you write. It favourably influences your writing style. It makes you seem more accessible to your reader, and it brings a touch of joy to your work. A smile affects your entire physiological state. Producing a smile involves contracting lots of major muscles. Therefore, a smile carries over and carries with it a sense of joy into your written word, so that your posts and your messages and your missives are dynamic and they are vivid. So smile when you write and write when you smile. It's as simple as that. Try it and see. The smile formula.
Blah 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 blah.
The Ruddy Duck Thesaurus. In the Ruddy Duck Thesaurus, I want to introduce a rude word of the week. But before I do that, I just want to discuss what the point of the Ruddy Duck Thesaurus is going to be. And also, I want to tell you about dactyl zingers. But let's move on to that in a little while. First of all, let me just explain what the Ruddy Duck Thesaurus is all about. We all love four-letter words, don't we? I'm especially thinking about the F word. As a way of grabbing attention and reinforcing an argument, these are simply the best. Now that's why naughty boys and pushy, belligerent loudmouths tend to use them. But here's the thing, and you don't have to be a smarty pants Einstein to work this out. Overuse of such powerful and precious words debilitates them, it dilutes them, and it makes them redundant. F-bombs do not impress anybody anymore, did they ever? F-bombs are shop-worn. F-bombs are commonplace. F-bombs make the user look like a dumbass. F-bombs poison your intentions because your audience turns away or turns off. And F-bombs are wasted spaces because something more memorable could have been used. To create a word bomb, impactful enough to replace the F-word, you'll need something short, something heavy, and something forceful that will hit the sentence like a hammer and reverberate right after. You'll need a bang, and I call that the word bomb. You'll need a word like clot, or blot, or scat, or sprat, or butts, or chits, or flit, or muck, or plank, or lank, or putz, or munt, or tiss. Now, if you want to swear convincingly at someone, and you want to call them something bad, might I recommend the use of the dactyl? Dactyl, D-A-C-T-Y-L. It means finger in ancient Greek. And it's a word that even looks like a finger because it has three joints. Check your index finger right now and you'll see what I mean. There are three lines which go across, that's the three joints. A dactyl is a three-syllable word. In some ways, it's like a one-word poem. On the first syllable, you impact the oath, the word bomb. So that word bomb comes right at the beginning with a hammer fall. And then you add two shorter and less stressed bits at the end to make the whole thing fun and memorable. So, to explain that a little bit better, non-rude versions of a dactyl might be elephant or typical. So, douche bucket and knob joggy are doing the rounds right now, as is a new one which I've seen over the last few weeks on social media, cockwomble. These are dactyl zingers. They're witty things to say, they're witty things to write, and they're actually quite enjoyable to read. And you will get a response from these, I guarantee it. Now you can make up your own dactyl zingers, like I have, and I'll show you how to do it in a moment. It's easy to do. Just use your heavy bomb word, remember those bomb words like putz, munt and tiss right at the beginning, and then add a double syllable dactyl part, the noun or the verb, at the end to poeticise the whole thing. So here's some suggestions, and I've only just come up with them. Clot spangler, blot spindler, scat hurdler, sprat turder, butt yanker, and by the way, that could be used in reverse. You could say yanker butts, chick splitter, flit fricker. You've got to be a bit careful with this one, but you can say it the opposite way round. Frick flutter. Then there's muck functor, plank gobbler, lank buffer, putz musket, munt biscuit, and tiss piggot. Dactyl zingers in the ruddy duck. Thesaurus.
I think it's a bunch of blobby gelatinous whoop whoopy blathering aloyacious nincompoopian flimilization.
I'm very highly educated. I know words, I have the best words,